Well, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Kings? 1 Kings, as we continue our study, in fact, as we conclude our study in the life of David. If you need a Bible, our ushers are coming forward right now, and they'd love to hand you one. My grandfather passed away 12 years ago, just a couple days before his 92nd birthday. One of the words that was used to describe my grandfather was the word wise. He was a man of wisdom. He was known as a wise counselor. He was known as a wise teacher. He was known as a wise mentor. He was known as a wise advisor. And in fact, in the final years of his life, when he was bedbound, people would still travel from all over the country, and they would just come and they would just sit at his bed in his house. And they just wanted to seek counsel from him. In fact, I have this picture. We can show it. This picture just, I love it because it sums up these final years of my grandfather's life. You can see him down there. He's in bed and he's lying down there, and there's these people. And they're coming to see him. You might recognize the person in the middle. That's Zig Ziglar. He was a well-known motivational speaker. The guy on the left is a guy named Ramesh Richard. He was an internationally known evangelist. He's from India. And they just came. They'd sit at his bed. And some would come because they had a question on their mind that they were hoping that he would offer counsel to. Or some just came because they knew these were the final moments of this man's life. And they were just wondering, is there any kind of wisdom that he might give them? I did the same thing. Now, I didn't live far from him. In fact, during the season of his life, the last couple years of his life, I lived real near him. It was a real blessing for me during this time. And anytime I had an opportunity, I would just go and I would just sit. Sometimes I would ask questions, but most of the time I just listen to whatever he wants to say to me. And what made these times so special is that we weren't talking about the weather. We weren't talking about sports. He wanted to talk about things that were important in life. And for that, for my grandfather, that means that we were going to be talking about eternal things. We were going to be talking about kingdom of God things. Those years that I would just go and sit with my grandfather, those are years that I still hear his words in me. I still carry them in my heart, my mind. He still shapes who I am. When a wise man is speaking final words, you listen. You take heart. You try to understand how you can apply this to your life. Today, we're going to be concluding our two-month study in the life of David, the second king of Israel, arguably the greatest king of Israel. And today, we're going to see some of David's final words. Final instructions that he's going to give to his son Solomon, the man who would follow him as king. And in these final instructions, we're going to see what truly matters to David. We're going to see what David learned about being a man. What David learned about being a king. We're going to see what was important to him, even though David had seasons of his life that he walked in disobedience. We're going to get to see the heart of this man, the reason why he was considered a man after God's own heart. When a man like David speaks and he's sharing final words, these are moments that we listen to. These are moments that we pause in these moments in Scripture and we take these to heart. And we don't just read them from the outside saying, these are our father speaking to a son, the king speaking to a future king. We say, what is it that God would say to me? What is the counsel and the wisdom that I can take? And so, if you're not already there, would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. David's final instructions given here in this passage could be divided up into two sections. The first section being David's spiritual instructions to his son Solomon, and then the second half some political advice or political counsel that David is going to offer Solomon. For us today, we're simply going to focus on the first four verses, the spiritual counsel that he offers his son. And so would you read with me beginning in verse 1? When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." You know, when David gives these final words of instruction to his son, these are not just words that he's kind of making up in the moment or words that he put together shortly before his son entered into his room. But there was historical significance and purpose in the words that David is giving to his son, because these were the same instructions that the Lord gave to Joshua when Joshua was succeeding Moses. So keeping in mind the words that we just read from David to his son, listen to the words from God to Joshua. Joshua 1:7, "Above all, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to observe all the law my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may prosper wherever you go." Be strong. Obey the law of the Lord, and you will prosper. I think Solomon would have recognized the historical significance of what his father was saying to him. You're not just entering into a political role, but you're about to become a man like Joshua that God is going to use to lead God's people for God's purposes. There's something significant you're about to enter into here, Solomon. And you need to recognize that if you're going to lead God's people in God's ways, you need to walk according to how he has instructed you to walk. And so we're going to look at these words from David to his son, which also reflects God's heart for Israel, and I believe reflects God's heart for us as believers in Jesus Christ. And so David begins with these words, "Be strong." Now, when he begins with these words, this is not just a generic, nice-sounding beginning, "Be strong, my son." But when Solomon would have heard these words, he would have recognized this is the very command of God. Joshua 1:9, the Lord says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." You know, when those words were spoken to Joshua from the Lord, that the reason Joshua could obey that command isn't because he had the ability to just will it with him himself. "All right, God, I don't feel strong, but I'm going to be strong. I don't feel courageous, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be bold." No, the reason Joshua is able to be strong is because of what the Lord says in the rest of Joshua 1:9. He says, "Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Did you hear that, Joshua? "I'm going to be there in every moment, in every high, in every low. I'm going to be there." See, Joshua, you serve a God who is strong, and you serve a God who is mighty. Joshua, you serve a God who is going to go before you. Therefore, in light of who I am, and in light of what I am going to do in your life, you know what you can do? You can walk with boldness, because I'm there with you. You can have courage, because I'm there with you. And so when David uses this phrase to his son who is about to be king, he says, "Be strong." He's saying, "Solomon, recognize the identity you have as a king of Israel, as God's appointed king, as one who will go with you. Solomon, you have a reason to be strong. You have a reason to be brave. You have a reason to be courageous, because the very God of this universe who created you, the very God of this universe who set Israel apart as his people, that's your God. So David can confidently tell his son, be strong. You know, these are not just words that we can look back on in the Old Testament and go, wow, that would be great if someone spoke those words to me. Because those are our words too. That's what we've been commanded to do also. Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Again, the command is not rooted in our ability to simply just say, okay, I'm going to do it. But it's who Christ is in us and what Christ will do for us. And one of the things that Christ has promised is that he says, I will be with you always. In the highs and the lows, in worshiping here at Mayo Clinic, I'm with you always. You know, when I think of these words from a father to a son, I think these are the words my sons need to be hearing. These are the words my daughter needs to be hearing. That when my kids place their faith in Jesus Christ, they need to know a promise has been given to them. The Lord is with them always. That sons and daughter, you're going to go through some valleys in life. And he will not have abandoned you. That sons and daughters, as you walk the halls of your schools, he's with you. That sons and daughters, as he gives you boldness to share the gospel in the workplace, thank you, Eric. In the neighborhood, in places where it feels like you have chains on you and it's hard and it's difficult, he is with you. And when you choose to walk in obedience to God, you begin to serve within the body, you begin to lead within the body, he is with you. Dads and moms, it begins with us reminding them. Like David reminds his son, be strong in the Lord. And then David says to his son, and show yourself a man. What a line from David. Solomon, show yourself a man. You know, in our culture, we have expressions that we often will maybe give to other guys when we're encouraging them to be bold or brave or take responsibility for something. We may just say something like this, hey, you just got to be a man about it. Come on, buddy, just man up and do it. You know, most of the time when our culture uses that phrase, it's more about bravado than it is about character. It's more about swagger than it is about the heart. When David is telling the son to show yourself a man, he's speaking about the character of Solomon, the character and the manner that he is going to lead and he's going to live before his God. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he makes a similar statement. You know, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he was writing to a church that had a lot of issues. I mean, they had a lot of messed up stuff happening in that church. There was division and discord. There was immorality. And it was a church that had a lot of spiritually immature people, which was causing a lot of this discord. So all throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is addressing all of these issues. And then toward the end of the book, or end of this letter, he gives this charge to the men of the church in Corinth. He says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. When he says be watchful, he's saying to the leadership of that church, be on alert. Be proactively looking for anything within that church that's not reflecting who Christ is and what it means to walk in obedience to Christ. He says, be looking for things in that church that could cause the men and women and the children to stumble. He says, stand firm in the faith. He says, know what you believe in Christ. Know what you have been called to in Christ. Don't move from it. Stand firm in the very truth of Christ. Don't get swayed away into fancy teaching that's actually a false teaching. And then he uses these very intriguing words. He says, act like men. Be strong. It's almost the same phrase that David uses. Be strong, Solomon. Show yourself a man. And Paul makes the statement, he's speaking into their spiritual character, their spiritual behavior. The opposite of men here is children. Paul's saying, act like adults. This isn't playtime. Act like mature men and women. Be responsible leaders of the church in Corinth. Don't bicker with each other like children can often do. But love each other. Treat each other like adults, like mature people should treat each other. So we come back to 1 Kings. In the words of David, and David is saying to his son Solomon, show yourself to be a man. Let your life be marked with maturity, not immaturity. Let your life be marked with wisdom, not foolishness. You know, when any leader, or really anyone's actions are childish and immature, not only is that a revealing of their heart, it's a revealing of their character, but their childish actions will often lead to destructive and harmful consequences. I mean, the book of Proverbs is constantly warning us about this, that the ways of the fool lead to destruction, but the ways of the wise, there's blessing down that road. You know, David had plenty of examples in his own life to be able to share with his son of his own immaturity. I mean, David made some poor decisions which led to harmful and painful consequences to him, his family, and to the whole nation of Israel. I mean, David knew what Israel needed in a leader and a king. They needed a godly man, a maturing man, not a boy, who would lead out of immaturity. See, David had played that role. It's an interesting statement for David to make. Because I think Solomon knew his history. I think he knew the relationship that he came from. His mom is Bathsheba. David can't make this charge to Solomon if Solomon hasn't seen spiritual maturity in David. I mean, David certainly was not a picture of perfection, but he was a picture of a man seeking to walk in obedience to God, even in his messiness. And when he stumbled, and as Tim Huff led us last week, we saw David stumble greatly. But when confronted of his sin, he recognized that he needed to repent before God, that he needed to come back into a right relationship with God. He recognized that he had to begin to lead like a man who was humbling himself before God. Dads and moms in this room, your past mistakes do not disqualify you from being people who can model for your children, whether they are in the house or out of the house. Your past mistakes do not disqualify you from calling your kids into maturity and to showing themselves to be men of God and women of God. I think our past mistakes can cause us to say, who am I? Who am I to call them to be a godly man when they see me on a daily basis falling and stumbling? But actually, how we handle our failures and mistakes before our kids may be the greatest example of maturity and genuine love for God. It may be the greatest example of God's grace and mercy and obedience that they may ever witness. Our role is to model what it means to walk in obedience even in our own messiness. We need to model grace as we walk in God's grace. We need to model mercy as we walk in God's mercy. I have a dad who fell into some of the sins of David. Sin of unfaithfulness, sin of betrayal. And as a young man in high school and in college, in my heart, he had no place to speak to me about what it means to be a godly man. He did not have that position in my place, in my own heart. My dad came to me in my 20s. He sought my forgiveness. I saw a man who had repented before God. I see a man today walking before God. I see a man of obedience before God. I see a man who can call me to be a man of God because I see it in his life. Men and women, dads and moms, don't let your past mistakes, your current failures disqualify you from calling up your kids, whether they are in the house or out of the house, to act like men and women walking in obedience to God. David doesn't just tell his son Solomon to show himself a man, but he defines for him what that looks like. Read with me in verse 3. And he says, "Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." Maturity comes from obedience. Show me a godly man, I'll show you a man walking in obedience to God. Show me a godly woman, I'll show you a woman daily walking in obedience to God. If Solomon is going to lead like a mature man and a spiritual leader, he must be walking in obedience to God. His life must reflect the very ways of the Lord. I think it's interesting that David doesn't just say, walk in the ways of the Lord and just leave it there. But he gets very specific in what it looks like to be obedient. He says, keep his statutes, Solomon. Keep his commandments, Solomon. Keep his rules, Solomon. Keep his testimonies, Solomon. In other words, God has made known to us how he wants us to live. So live like that, Solomon. And then David adds a very significant statement at the end. He says, as it is written in the law of Moses. Why does David add that line? Because he's saying, do not live according to your own understanding of how you think God wants you to live. Don't live according to your own understanding of what it means to walk in his ways. Live according to the commands as it is written. See, Solomon never had to ask the question, God, what does it mean? What does it mean to walk in your ways? Because he had the law of Moses written for him. David knew. David had lived what it means to assume the ways of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we saw David trying to take the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And he didn't do it according to how God had instructed in his word, written in the law of Moses, and how to do it. And he simply did it out of his own understanding. This seems like this is good. This seems like what God would want. And it led to a man losing his life. It led to the ark not going to Jerusalem. And there's two types of obedience. Or I'm sorry, there's two types of disobedience. There's the willful disobedience in which we say, God, I know what your way says, what your law says, and I just don't want to do it. And then there's ignorant disobedience. It's where we think we know what God says. And we begin to live in a manner in which we think this is what pleases him, when in reality, it's not what he desires. Whether it's willful or simply ignorant, they're both places of disobedience. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, stand firm in the faith, what he's saying is there is something to stand firm in, which is the very truth of God, and yet we live in a culture in which many Christians are not standing on anything. They're standing on what they think are the ways of the Lord, what they heard at some point were the ways of the Lord, what just feels like the ways of the Lord, and they are remaining spiritually immature believers, making decisions in their life that are leading to pain and destruction. David is telling Solomon, your strength is in the Lord, and your maturity is in the Lord, and you have that by walking in obedience to the Lord according to the word of the Lord. And then this is the consequences, or not the consequences, this is the result of obedience. Verse 3 says, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping the statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies, as written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do. You know, the word prosper here is not necessarily connected to wealth or riches or earthly happiness. It's related to being in a right relationship with God and experiencing the fruit of being in a right relationship with God. David wrote about it in Psalm chapter 1. He says this. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And Dave's saying that there's a blessing that comes from delight in the word of the Lord. There's a blessing that comes from meditating on his word day and night. There's blessing in walking in his word. And then David goes on to describe what this blessing looks like. He compares the man who delights in the word of God to a tree that is healthy and strong. Look at his words. He says, this man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, now we're speaking of the man again, in all that he does, he prospers. So the one who delights in the word, he's one who's spiritually healthy. He's one who's healthy like a tree is strong and healthy. The one who delights in the word of God and living out the word of God, obedient to the word of God, I mean, that's where the fruit is coming. That's when he gets to be in his office, sitting in the conference room, sharing the gospel with someone. There is fruit in his life. When you delight in the word of God and live in the word of God, you are walking in how God created you to walk. To prosper is to know the joy of being in a right relationship with God and seeing the fruit being produced in your life. This is what David is wanting his son to experience. I'm sure he's saying, Solomon, I have known what it is to be the tree that is falling apart, and I've also known what it is to be a true tree that is healthy and producing fruit. Be the healthy tree. That's where you know joy. That's where you know hope. That's where you know peace. And then in verse 4, David reminds Solomon of God's promise to David's family and in the generations to come. And listen to the words of David, because it once again reveals what God ultimately desires of us. In verse 4, David says, do these things, walk in his obedience. And then verse 4 says, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their walk, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart, with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. The promise to David hinged on what? Faithfulness. Walking according to the word of the Lord. There's so many things that we can say to our kids. There are so many things that David could say to his son. This is what he wants his son to be, faithful to the Lord. You know, David spoke these words shortly before he died. I read these words and I say, what is it that I'm speaking into my kids? Whether you have kids who are young and they're still growing up in your house, whether you have kids that are out of the house and they are married and they have kids, you still have the opportunity to call them up to obedience and to say, live your lives faithful before your God. Live your lives in obedience before your God. That's where our hope is. That's where our joy is. That's the life we were created to live as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up here. And as we respond in worship, consider the charge from David to Solomon. Consider the charge in your life to be strong, to be mature, to walk in obedience to the Word of God, and then consider who it is in your life, maybe a child or other people that you may call up into maturity.